Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckles Show. Yes, this is UFC 198 post fight show. It's BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by ourselves, baby. AKA 319 Wine and Cheese, the best. Wine and cheese, the best place to dine, the best place to find the bitch that's fine in Tallahassee, the city of champions. Also by American Fighter, let's support America. This ain't no Donald Trump shit, but I'm tired of hearing about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai. Let's get together and celebrate the new system, American Fighting System. Website coming soon. And also, last but not least, my fitness regimen, Warrior Fit. It's warrior-fit on Instagram. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the line with me is the Don Dada, the Max Kellerman to my Marcellus Wiley. He is the most knowledgeable man in MMA. I don't know if I'll go that far, but he is the motherfucking king of the streets, like Boss Rootin. He comes through shooting. Goddamn, he was in the 92 riots. He was that dude, the only white dude with the radio just looting. He is the man who, you knew them, that goddamn, you can't defeat me, because he was rooting for Stipe. It don't matter, because goddamn, Andrew Meredith, 10 years ago, fuck the Ryman. I'm not doing it tonight, but I'll tell you a story. My co-host, who has family in Cleveland, found a young man that was into boxing. And this young man was of Croatian descent. And I told Andrew Meredith, there's a guy named Kroka, one of the best heavyweights on the planet. Andrew Meredith said, I don't like MMA. I like boxing. That's what I like. I like Sugar Shane Mosley. But he saw a young man named Stipe, and he told Stipe, I'm going to take you under my wing. I'm going to teach you a little something about MMA. And he said, I'm going to make you the first ever champion to come back to Cleveland. That's right, LeBron, you lose again. Stipe beats you this time, buddy. Yes, Andrew Meredith is the man that introduced Stipe Miocic, our new heavyweight champion, to MMA. He is Mr. Nick Diaz, fingers up. Don't give a fuck. Slap your mama on the butt himself, a.k.a. Percy Love, a.k.a. don't give a fuck, a.k.a. somebody give him a hug. He is the motherfucking MMA thug. Fuck Ariel Helwani. That's all I got to say. It's Mr. Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Very excited, you know, coming off that high off a great UFC card. So me and Ryan.
I had to say the shitty introduction. I had to work my way through that.
It wasn't that bad, right? It was pretty good.
I had to save it at the end, you know. I was a little off. I wasn't ready, you know. We did this show on spur of the moment.
It was good. I like, and for the folks, that is true. You know, Ryan did get me into MMA.
He was eating yogurt, right? Stipe, when you met him, was he eating yogurt?
He was, but...
But didn't you tell Werdum he was going to be a champion, too? You are a backstabber when it comes to heavyweight champ.
A little bit, you know, a little bit. I'd be flip-flopping, but as I was trying to say as a sidebar, I did originally like boxing better because I had never watched MMA. So I was going to be stubborn and a hater.
Great,
and as well, I also like Shane Mosley a lot back in the day, but his face is so destroyed now. It is quite comical. He's even making a little bit of a comeback.
Yeah, he is trying, and he was talking about, I know when Canelo Khan is, here's when my fight is. Boxing's great, and there's always wars to go with the other fights, but it's almost like 90% the guy who's supposed to win. The matchups are almost always squash matches, and you almost always know who's going to win. Like tonight, we got some just crazy shit that just went down, that if you did five boxing matches with some of the best boxers, say two best boxing middleweights, usually you know who's going to win. You know what I'm saying?
That's
what got me
more than
MMA tip.
MMA is crazy. And Ryan, we had a pretty crazy event. I will say this, the event was entertaining.
A ton of finishes.
The event was very entertaining. I will be honest, I'm not trying to be
weird.
A hater, but all day I was, you know, debating whether or not I wanted to order this UFC event. What stopped
me,
Ryan? What stopped me originally is, well, A, if Anderson was still on this card, I would have probably ordered it. The main reason, Ryan, I feel like when I order a UFC event these days, there's a McGregor on it, an Anderson on it, or just like an epic fight of the decade or something. So, you know, even though as we're calling this the Brazilian Dinosaur card, and the comet came and hit Brazil at the end, in the form of Stipe's right hand.
All those were doom masks.
Dude, you could hear a pin drop. That was most depressed crowd I had ever seen. And the Brazilians, you know,
but
in Brazilian fashion, having a hell of a night.
I do want to share with you my experience real quick.
Yes, I didn't order the event. I will say the prelims were great, very entertaining. I didn't watch the fight pass. They started playing at the very end after the rematch. They started to play the Patrick Cummings 30 seconds getting knocked out as usual. I didn't watch it. But I will say this, Ryan, you know, the weird part, I have to agree, there were a lot of finishes. And maybe if you think just looking at the results of the fights and seeing all those finishes, it was a super entertaining card. But, Ryan, I thought what really hurt this card, there were no wars. Most of these fights were lopsided. Yeah. The only fight that was close in it was the Shogun Corey Anderson. And that fight was kind of like, you know, one of those close fights, but both guys just weren't that effective.
The Shogun fight.
Shogun got two drops early, and then he just kind of gassed. And Corey Anderson looked like the moment was way too big for him. He is a young fighter.
Oh,
and, of course, you know, the huge upset with Barbarino. Love that guy's name with the dad body.
Somehow pulled another
upset. But, yeah, Ryan, no wars.
Before we get into some more. And because you just you put out your, you know, how you were feeling during the day. I do got to say, something really pissed me off. I'm glad I didn't order this pay-per-view because, like you said, there was no wars. But I did order a pay-per-view, and that was the John Jones pay-per-view. I regret it. I definitely shouldn't have ordered that pay-per-view. I'm glad I didn't order this one. I definitely will be debating on ordering the next one. But I got to say, after you watch it on pay-per-view, and then you go back to streaming, it's so hard to go back to streaming with the slow lagging and having to switch screens every 5 seconds and listening to it in Portuguese. And I also have to say two things. One, this event definitely was missing Anderson Silva, not only a war, but Anderson Silva, Uriah
Hall. Star power.
It had star power. We're doing Stipe. We'll get into all that, like how they don't do it for me. But, you know, Anderson Silva, you know, he just would have put this card over the top, especially against Uriah Hall. What an explosive matchup. What a hard matchup to lose. I feel like this could have been one of the best pay-per-views with all the stops, if you would have had that war on there. And the other thing I was going to say was, I'm kind of forgetting it, but basically, you know, no Anderson Silva, and, you know, stoppages that were a little curious. And also, basically, I don't know if I can get into, I mean, I've gotten into Word Doom, but him and Stipe just really, the main event, I was excited, but neither guy is like a Mike Tyson heavyweight champion to me. I feel like the UFC needs a Cain Velasquez back in there, a guy that looks like a killer and just you feel like he's the best in the world. Like, I don't feel like Stipe is the best heavyweight in the world, even though he starts for Doom, which is so hard to say, but I feel like that's what this event was missing, and definitely a war, and definitely some people letting us down. I'm looking at you, Leslie Smith, and you,
Vitor. A lot of people
Belfort.
Didn't show up.
Jesus Christ, Vitor
Brown,
Belfort,
Travis
Belfort.
Brown.
I didn't see that one. We'll get into it. Andrew, where do you want to start?
Real quick, one last thing I do want to bring up. I don't know how this factored in for you, but really my deciding factor for not ordering the pay-per-view, and this is something that Dana needs to think about, just real quick, ask you this, if you ordered the last one, but these pay-per-view events, they aren't cheap. $65.
Yes,
$65, Ryan, for pretty much a two-hour, you know, you got to think the events are over at 12, maybe 12:30, so 2.5 hours. You're paying about $11 a fight. And then when you have the stat card of 199 coming, and then UFC 200, I'm definitely going to get UFC 200. Still up in the air with 199, but I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, if I get, you know, this one and 199, you know, that's $130. And then, you know,
exactly,
if you add on top of that and get UFC 200 too, that's almost $200, Ryan, on three UFC cards. And that's just, it's too pricey. And, you know, especially coming, you had just ordered one. So, you know, that's $120 on the last two cards. Way too much money. I'm sorry. It's just
and
way
that's
too
why
much.
There should be a maybe last three matches or $30 option or, you know,
or
maybe,
I was thinking, Ryan,
maybe
you could
every
get
other
two
pay-per-views cheaper, you know, a little cheaper.
Or
than,
what if there was like a package deal? Like either you could pay for a year or you could pay like for the next two or three pay-per-view events and it comes out to a little bit cheaper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just
That's the future. And when WWE did their network, kind of like Fight Pass, they gave free pay-per-views for a year. So I feel like the UFC needs to start a subscription-type network, but that might take away from the pay-per-view experience. I don't know. You can either afford it or you can't. But, Andrew, but one other thing I felt like it was missing, and I hate to say it, Joe Rogan. He gets me excited for fights. He gets me, even though half of my fights I watched were in fucking Portuguese, which maybe that was what threw me off. But when I did go to the American broadcast, Brian Stan and whoever he was working with, or was it, I don't even think it was it Goldberg in there? I can't remember. But
no, I don't think so.
Yeah, the team they have is too stale. That Goldberg, Rogan, like, they get me really pumped up for fights. Like, The knockout at the end with Stipe. Like, Rogan would have been going crazy. It would have been such a bigger moment. The interviews after the fights are better. I just feel like Joe Rogan, the way he breaks it down, I feel like he would have broke it down better when Vitor was getting smashed. You know, he is in favor of earlier stoppages. But, you know, I just feel like his electricity he brings on the mic and the stupid stuff Goldberg says is always funny and gets me more excited.
Yeah.
And Goldberg, you know, Rogan dissing Goldberg a little bit here and there. That it felt like a Fox event because of the announcement to me.
It did. It did. You know, Ryan, that is a great point. It did. And I will say this, you know, we've been hating on this card a little bit. Still a good car, folks. I mean, I still give it a solid B for entertainment. Didn't quite get to that A.
There's a lot of smashing going on.
But I will say this. That crowd, that Brazilian crowd, I have never seen an event that packed. That may have been the best crowd ever. Of course, you know, it did hurt when
right behind McGregor Aldo, maybe.
It was just so live. I've never seen something that packed for the prelims alone, and then people kept pouring in, pouring in. All in all,
Matt
the Brazilian
Brown got
fans.
Hit three times on his way to the ring. He got punched.
He did.
Three times.
I had never seen anything like that before. Pretty scary to think about. But shoot, Ryan, let's dive into some of these fights.
It's
big for Brazil. So before we give like final grades and everything like that. So all right, let's start with Vitor. Hey, sure, we can start with Vitor. I think he deserves a title shot because he mauled Vitor. Vitor does not belong in the ring. He got killed in every level.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if it's either Jacare was that good tonight or Vitor was that bad, but we see what Vitor looks like off of the TRT. I think he did have
night
that victory
day.
Over... I think he did have
day.
That victory. Didn't he have another
over,
victory over
Yeah,
Daniel?
Over Hendo. Yeah.
Yeah, in between. But still, like, the way Vitor just got smashed, and it seemed like he wasn't even there. And the funny part was, I've never seen Vitor not the fan favorite. I don't know if Jacare is from Curbita or whatever they were at, whatever the city is. But Jacare was the clear-cut fan favorite going into that fight. I'm not sure because, you know, if Vitor has fallen out a little bit with the Brazilian fans because of all the TRT, I have no idea what's going on there. But the way that Vitor just, he didn't look great on his feet. When it went to the ground, I mean, Jacare is clearly one of the best MMA fighters on the ground. But still, there's been fights where he's gotten on top of people, Luke Rockhold, some other people, and they get up, or they're able to basically defend. 30 seconds left. Vitor has to survive there. He's got to show the heart of a champion. I think the referee could have waited a little bit longer. I mean, you got to look and say, hey, he was getting smashed, don't get me wrong. But you got to look and say, hey, 30 seconds left. I mean, look how bad Chris Weidman got beat down against Luke Rockhold. I know he was the champion. But, I mean, you got to look at how much time is left and say, all right, how much punishment is he taking? Because Vitor was trying to defend. He was getting pummeled, you know. He was getting absolutely smashed. He had that raccoon on his head like usual, but without the muscle to back it up. So he kind of just was a weird punkish guy. He went from looking like a bodybuilder to looking like a punk rock singer. I don't know what happened there. But... Vitor just looked like, oh, I've never seen him look that bad in almost all of his career. I think that might have been, other than Anderson knocking him out quick, and that was prime Anderson, that was just such a pure beatdown in a fight that was supposed to be maybe the best fight on the card. I'm just so disappointed in Vitor, and definitely Jacare has to fight the winner of that Rockhold Weidman. But if you're the UFC, Andrew, do you give Jacare the title fight? Or if Chris Weidman beats Rockhold, do you go for the third fight?
That is tough, Ryan. That is a tough question. Because, honestly, I mean, Rockhold has a case for it. I think it depends on how the fight goes, if it's a close war, if it's a slaughter. Because, you know, it is a little unfair to Souza. I mean, granted, he did lose to Yoel, but I think that should get kind of asterisked since Romero did test positive for steroids shortly after that happened, and it was, you know, no surprise. And it was a close war. But, I mean, Jacare, he definitely has a big enough name. You know, he's got the Brazilian fan base, and I don't know. I would like to see, unless that Rockhold Weidman 2 is a complete instant classic where you just got to have an automatic rematch, I'm going to say let's get some fresh blood in there, you know, and we could have a rematch maybe between Rockhold and Souza again. You know, there's a little bit of bad blood there for what Rockhold did to him in the end of his Strikeforce campaign. But, unless it's an instant classic, Ryan, because, I mean, I personally like to see Souza get a crack at it. The guy's done enough. And, I mean, he just mauled.
He did lose his last fight, but it was against a guy on steroids, you know.
Yeah, and Vitor needs to take a strong look in the mirror, because he is nowhere near the same caliber of fighter that he was on the TRTs. I mean, you're looking at a guy when he was on TRT.
He looked like an amateur out there.
He almost beat John Jones, and now it's just he needs to take a look in the mirror, either go fight overseas.
He knocked out Ian Rockhold.
But, yes, and I mean, this guy, though, without the TRTs, he needs to think about some serious career moves. That cauliflower pizza is not getting the job done. I mean,
no,
I do expect him to stay around just because how weak the UFC's middleweight division is right now. I mean, you think about it, it is pretty damn weak.
And 205.
It's kind of a joke.
Do you think he
could
move back up to 205? Maybe
he's
fight
just gonna
Shad
get
smashed
more
down
at 205. That should be the fight right there, Ryan. Two guys, or Michael Bisping again. But, I mean, all in all for Vitor, maybe try and cash in for some big money fights here
Anderson,
and there.
UFC 200, or is it kind of, you know, after seeing Vitor lose like that, it kind of takes away from that matchup that we've been wanting to see?
It definitely has to take away from it somewhat. I only think the thing you can do with Vitor now is just go big money fights with him. You know, just some legend type status fights, and maybe
he's
too fight
big
the
to
shows
get rid
on.
Of?
But
he's too
he
big
can't
to get
make
rid
a run.
Of. Yeah, like he's too big of a name to get rid of for the UFC, which is sad that they're stuck in that situation. Like because they have a competitor, but let's face it, Vitor right now, if he went to Bellator, he gets a fresh start. The 185 division, he would be fighting like a Melvin Manhoff, exciting fight, or a Joe Schilling who doesn't have a lot of MMA experience. Could even maybe have a career renaissance at 185 in Bellator. Could be doing huge numbers over there and probably be getting paid more. Vitor, this is a guy who came out and said it's like being a slave now under the Reebok deal. It just seems like the amount of money he lost because of this deal, he lost motivation. Plus, he cannot be on his TRT. In Bellator, he's going to be on his TRT. They don't have that drug testing. I feel like maybe a split from the UFC is the best thing for him. But I believe this is the shocker of the night. Like, I don't think anyone saw that kind of beatdown coming. Do you think it was a like premature? Do you think the referee could have let it go a little bit longer? Or do you think it was inevitable that he was going to get smashed out in those last 30 seconds?
I do think it was inevitable. It could have probably gone a little bit longer, but I really didn't have a problem with the stoppage. Especially when you saw Vitor's face after they zoomed in. I've never seen something so broken and bloody. I thought he died or at least was unconscious. And I will say this, though, for Vitor's credit, this was probably the worst matchup he could have asked for with someone with the ground game of Jakar Hungry on the up-and-comer. And, of course, you know, the card's in Brazil, and you're fighting a more popular Brazilian fighter right now, so you don't even have the crowd and the energy to feed off of.
But at 185, is he now at the level where they're going to have to throw him a Gegard Mousasi, who also is going to be able to wrestle him? Or is it a Uriah Hall or maybe a Robert Whittaker to build his name up? You know, obviously you said Bisping. You know, Bisping is on that high of winning. They're trying to set up that Robert Whittaker match, that Australia versus UK beef with him and Bisping. But is he on that level where you got to drop him now? Because if you look at the top of the rankings at 185, Andrew, it's actually definitely a strong division, a lot stronger than, you know, like 205 in heavyweight. And when Yoel Romero, it's only like a 6-month suspension. He's an Olympic judo or I think wrestling. I mean, he has way better wrestling than Jacare. Weidman, we already saw what he did to Vitor. We know Luke Rockhold, when Vitor's not on the juice, is going to be able to out-wrestle Vitor. Rashad Evans, if he cuts down, I mean, you got to think, you know, Rashad, he looks so tentative against Glover. I've been saying it for years, he needs to be at 185. He's probably going to be able to out-wrestle Vitor. Vitor didn't even look good standing up. I mean, I just don't see any matchups at 185 other than maybe another Dan. How many times have those two fought? And then Dan Henderson, Hector Lombard, I mean, I feel like he's going to take him down. I mean, I just don't see where Vitor goes from here.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing is we should just move on from his trash.
Yeah,
that was Vitor, but.
Yeah.
I mean, the last thing, Ryan, I think you're dead on the nail with everything about him. You need to just match some stuff up for stylistically where you'll get an interesting fight because there's no way he's going to climb the rankings again. The gap is
Fox
just too
Sports
great without the
event.
TRT.
Fox Sports
yeah.
One events in Brazil or something
yeah.
like that. You know?
Yeah,
that's
against some other
now.
Old dog stand-up fighting legends.
I think
Ryan,
Rashad's the answer there.
Then,
you know, let's get that fight.
I got to agree with that. All right, Ryan, and then next fight, let's keep it on the Brazilians. We finally saw her debut, Ryan.
Oh, my God.
Touch
I'm
on this one. It reminded me, honestly, that's been the closest thing to a Ronda-esque fight I've seen. Cyborg delivered. You got to say
my
no homo after that.
I'm in love with Vanderlei and high heels.
Right.
No.
But
no. Oh, go ahead.
Cyborg, I was going to say, she delivered on all cylinders. I mean, her debut may have 100%. Been more impressive than Ronda's
debut.
This might have been one of the most, so I was going to say, this might have been the best, one of the best debuts I've ever seen in the UFC. She looks
she
like this is the moment she was ready
fighter.
For.
She
really can, Ryan. And after seeing her that a minute 21, I mean, Leslie Smith just crumpled after that, I don't know if it was a left or right, but she just crumpled after that shot, and it was pretty much over. Minute 20 knockout. Ryan, I think all female fighters took notice after what Cyborg did, and I think they all have to be shitting their pants. But some serious questions, some questions I had for you about Cyborg. So they asked her about the Invicta title. She said it's her belt. She wants to keep defending it. What do you think is going to happen with that? The catch weight at 140, can she even make 135? She was able to make 139. You believe she could drop 4 more pounds. Maybe she lost a little bit of muscle. But what do you do with Cyborg? What's the next step? Are they going to have to be catchweight 140 fights? Like, what's the next couple of steps with her? What do you do with Cyborg going forward?
You got to do catchweight 140. I don't know what Cyborg's talking about there. I mean, she's always had questionable shit that she says. But if you're in the UFC, you're in the UFC. You're not going to go back to Invicta Fight Pass to defend your Invicta title. If anything, you start that 145-pound division. And I'm sorry, Andrew, I know she's ugly, but that girl right there, she can sell some tickets, by the way. She comes out. And in my opinion, she's one of the scariest fighters I've seen in a long time. Not only does she have that stand-up ability, but I've seen her fight high-level Muay Thai. She fought the best Muay Thai female on the planet and actually went all 5 rounds in a war with her, ended up losing. So she has that ability. But not only that, but unlike Holly Holm, who's all patient and always waiting to counter-strike, Cyborg comes out there for blood. She comes out there, like, just flying in and crazy. And it almost goes right into that Ronda style. They're just going to collide if they ever fight. But, you know, you have to have someone who's going to test her on the ground because, you know, Gina Carano did get her in a full mount. Cyborg eventually swept her. She is a black belt. But I think the Holly Holm fight at 140, which Holly Holm's a little bit bigger for 135, I think that's the next step. You have a big-name fighter in that four women, you know, and you have the
yeah.
four horsemen with her, Misha Tate, Ronda Rousey, and Holly Holm to fight. And eventually you have to angle for that Ronda fight, or who knows, Misha, if she is able to beat Ronda. But I think that you just keep building that Cyborg name. Even if it's not Holly Holm, you know, you find the next 140-pound woman that will do it. And eventually you got to sit down with Cyborg and just say, we got to either, you know, either create this belt or we got to figure out a way to get you to 135 so you can legitimately challenge for that title. Because I don't
yeah.
think, I know the fans will pressure her, but I don't think Ronda Rousey, if she's the champ, should have to go up in weight. I think
no.
if you want the belt, you should have to go down. So
definitely.
Cyborg, going in there at 160, I just got to say this. After watching Cyborg, anytime she fights from now on, I feel like, and it's a strong opinion, Ronda, I love Ronda. I think she is probably the best fighter on the planet. Who knows? But Cyborg's style, how big Cyborg is, I think she might be the best women's fighter other than the 115-pound
yeah.
champion because she's so great in that division, 125, whatever. I think Cyborg might be the best women's fighter on the planet. She's that good, in my opinion, standing up. And she's just one of the only women other than Ronda with just that, and Holly Holm, with just that one-punch knockout, but I think she even takes it further. I really think she would put Ronda in a lot of trouble, and I didn't realize that really till tonight how good Cyborg is. I mean, this lady is an animal, and
oh,
what
yeah.
an asset for the UFC. I know she doesn't have the looks, but I'm sorry, when it comes to
fighting
it ain't about
looks good.
All the time. If this bitch keeps knocking people out like that, then goddamn, keep putting her
yeah.
on cards. She's going to be a superstar, and you got the nation of Brazil behind her. I just think the sky is the limit. You just got to find fights for her. I think a lot of women are going to be ducking Cyborg.
I have to agree 1,000%, but let's keep it moving, Ryan. We did just get the 15-minute warning, got a couple other fights to touch on. Before we touch on the big one, one of my biggest losers of the night was the immortal Travis Brown. I don't think
man.
He threw maybe three punches. Damian Maia just put on a ground clinic, got his back within like the first minute of the fight. Travis Brown was trying some new style where this is how much he did not respect Damian Maia's hands. He kept his hands down on purpose the whole fight, getting ready for the shot. I don't think he still couldn't stop it. Ryan, Damian Maia, I mean, say what you want to, it's boring ground game. It's not even that exciting. He's not an exciting fighter, but he's a monster at welterweight. He has looked phenomenal. You know, this guy did fight Anderson for the middleweight belt. So huge victory for him, Ryan. Huge victory.
Yeah.
Do you think going with him, it looks inevitable that he is going to eventually get a title shot, but it is a very, very stacked welterweight division.
So many people waiting.
What do you do with Damian Maia? Does he have to win again? Who does he have to beat? Does he need to have one more win, in your opinion, to fight for the belt? Can he fight for it now? You know, so what's going on with welterweight? What's next for Damian Maia and Travis Brown?
I got to say this, like, if you ever look at the UFC and say, God damn, they need to have a Grand Prix, welterweight is that division where you're like, God damn, they have to have a Grand Prix. Because you have Tyrone Woodley, who's on a win streak, who's been waiting for that title shot. Carlos Condit arguably beat Robbie Lawler. You got McDonald out there, who had the war of the century with Robbie Lawler, who's fighting Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Patrick Cote's on like a 4-fight win streak. He has a big red Cowboy Cerrone coming up too. I think if Wonderboy wins, you've got to give him the title shot. Maybe after Tyrone Woodley. I heard Tyrone's next on the docket. So I think you got to put Damian Maia against Carlos Condit. both guys are kind of waiting in the limb. They're kind of waiting to see what happens. I know Carlos keeps saying he wants a title shot or he might retire. I think that's the fight to make to really test Damian's stand-up skills. And Carlos is not a guy he's going to run over on the ground. I think it would just be such an entertaining matchup to see what happens on the ground. We know Carlos has the skills on the ground and what will happen on the feet. That will be the true test to see where Damian is at on the feet. And this is a guy who, I know he doesn't have the best stand-up skills, but he could come out there and take Robbie Lawler down and submit him. That's how good the welterweight division is. As far back as he is, you know, he's on that huge basically win streak. You have to respect him. And don't forget, the dude who just beat Hector Lombard, I forget his name, but is it Ferguson? I believe so.
No, yeah, I think so.
It's someone else. I forget who it is. But, you know, he's on a five-fight win streak, so you could throw him out there. There's just tons of fights for him. I believe he needs, like, one or two more wins. And if he has that many victories in a row, you've got to throw him in there for a title. But he's got to go against some stiffer competition. And as far as Brown, this is just a guy now that falls into that Ryan Bader gatekeeper status. You know, but that entertaining gatekeeper status where it's like, you know, you have an entertaining matchup. Let's start out there. If Stephen Thompson loses to McDonald, who doesn't want to see that stand-up brawl that might happen between those two? Or if a guy's coming up in the welterweight division, let's see him go out there. I think Brown's at that time period basically in his career. But also, how much more damage can you take? You've been through so many wars, maybe a Johnny Hendricks rematch, but it seems like he just cannot compete at that upper echelon level. You know, Brown needs to really reassess where he's at. I smell something in the air. Greg Jackson? I think Greg Jackson might be giving Brown a call tonight. And maybe it's time for a camp change, honestly. Maybe it is. Something needs to change in his career because he's just not getting it done when the lights are the brightest.
Yeah, Ryan, I agree 1,000%. And this is a guy who's already reinvented himself once, so who knows if he can do it twice. But, Ryan, let's I don't know how much time we have left, maybe about 10 minutes. Let's just go ahead and dive into it. Brand-new heavyweight championship.
What a shocker.
Everyone in Cleveland is celebrating. They finally have a championship in something, not being the Buckeyes. But Ryan, first of all, I want to say this was – first question would be – I'm going to rapid-fire a couple questions for you.
Hit me
number
with
one, how big of an upset was this in UFC, and how big of a heavyweight? Was this one of the biggest upsets in heavyweight history? Where would you rank it? Question two, for Verdum, you know, especially in heavyweight, I don't know what he was thinking chasing Stipe after that. Was he overconfident, you know, in his abilities? Especially a heavyweight, him getting knocked out cold. Where does Verdum go from here? Where does Stipe go from here? Have you ever seen a crowd just so gassed, shocked, and deflated before? You could have heard a pin drop when he got knocked out. And this was
That's
probably
–
and then the last thing, for the Brazilian crowd, you know, this was they had a great night. The only other fight a Brazilian fighter did not win was the Barbarino fight, because we all know Barbarino's the upset king. But this was arguably the most important fight for the Brazilians. So this was a huge loss. Did they reinsert themselves in your mind after this event?
All right. That's a lot of questions. So we might have to throw...
Number one was upset. How big of an upset was this?
Yeah, I'll go one by one real quick. A big of an upset, I got to say, it has to be one of the biggest. I would say top five, you know, obviously Randy Couture, Tim Sylvia when he came back, Gabriel Gonzaga's Krokop, Kevin Randleman Krokop. There's been some big ones out there. But where Doom was on the crisp, he was so close to becoming, honestly, after beating Fedor,
the best heavyweight ever.
Best heavyweight ever. He was so close to touching it. Every time we have another heavyweight that's about to get that stigma, about, you know, is about to get that new Fedor status, even Fedor in Strikeforce, you know, when he came over and had that letdown, but he already had a great career, you know. But when you get that, you know, best ever status, something like this happened. But it wasn't the upset, because if Stipe would have went five rounds and won a decision, it's like, all right, you know, it's an upset, but it's not as big. But the way he starts were doomed in such shocking fashion, I think that has to put it top three of all time, especially when it's in Brazil.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought Miocic would have knocked him out like that so quickly in the first round? I mean, what an epic knockout. And to kind of get into going like...
Warning, we got about 3 or 4 minutes left.
Okay, what was Werdum doing? I don't understand it. This guy has made his living lately on being patient, being the guy that has the cardio, getting the clinch, using his knees. If he has to go to the ground, he gets on the ground. Like, even when he gets rocked, you know, no one wants to go into his guard, because that's how Fedor got beat by him. I just don't understand why he got so over cocky. I mean, this was a guy who printed out 43,000 masks for all the fans to wear. I just feel like he was over cocky coming into this fight, thinking like maybe he just did not have respect for Stipe. Maybe he was looking ahead to some bigger money fights. But this was just, I mean, he was winning the fight, I believe, until that happened. And, you know, maybe he saw the opening. Stipe even said he couldn't get off. He couldn't get basically into fight mode until he landed that punch. And we've seen it. I mean, Conor McGregor landed a perfect punch against Jose Aldo. But this is what happens. Ronda Rousey, when she got knocked out by Holly Holm, this is what happens when you rush in like a wild street fighter against a trained killer. You just cannot do that in a perfectly placed hand, especially at heavyweight. Stipe has now shown he is a knockout artist in his last two fights now. And what a shocker. I got to say that it was partly bad game planning or overconfidence, but Werdum knew he lost. Stoppage-wise, it looked like it was just a clear knockout. But you got a question, you know, if, you know, Stipe had to go in there and basically land, let's say, like 10 to 12 shots, you know, he might have just killed Werdum if he did that. But if Werdum would have somehow woke up, somehow, you know, got his punch, a totally different fight. I have to rewatch it to see how, you know, fast it was, how fast the stoppage was. But, you know, I feel like that, you know, Werdum was pretty much out. He had no complaint. And it's so crazy to think, you know, you're talking about where do they go from here? Because it's like, do you give the Werdum the rematch now? He has been a pretty good heavyweight champion. But then you have Overeem waiting. I mean, I feel like that would be a great matchup. But Stipe is such an all-around good fighter. You know, will he just take Overeem down? Can he just knock Overeem out? Or can Overeem knock Stipe out? Who is going to be the savior of this division? Is Cain Velasquez going to come back? Or is Stipe the guy? Before I touch on that, I got to say the pin drop thing. Yes, I've never seen a crowd drop and just be that silent. I'd have to compare it maybe only to like an NBA final or something where a team wins on another team's home court and all you
get blown out.
The Spurs blown out the Heat or something like that, you know, where it's just pin drop or like a game winning three on the road. I'd have to compare it to that. It was just absolute shock. All these masks, you just hear them all dropping. I mean, it was just crazy. I've never heard a crowd turn like that.
Last question before we get cut off. Biggest loser of the night. Mine has to be Bellator. Phil Davis won a very boring fight. Phil Davis' fashion against King Mo. My biggest loser of the night is Bellator. Ryan, your biggest loser of the night.
I'm not going to say Bellator. I haven't got to see the fight yet, but I heard it was controversial and King Mo should have won. But Phil Davis, you know, did drop him in the third round. But you watched it. Well, I didn't get to see it.
I only watched round one and